I felt like he gave us a message to share with you all. This is Christmas. I'm thankful this morning for Christmas. But there's a Christmas, and then there's a Christmas. And I want to talk about the true Christmas this morning, the real Christmas, what this is really all about for you and I, and what it should be about for the world, but they don't have what we've got. So we've got something this morning that is more precious and wonderful, and I want to talk about that. Let's open up in Luke. Let's just read the story. To start with, second chapter of Luke, probably one of the most known chapters or half chapter here in the Bible. This is read over and over, I would say, this time of the year. And it said, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. This is a Christmas story. I don't know about you, but I've had some people text me, and I've texted some, Merry Christmas. Good morning to you all, and Merry Christmas. We want to talk about the true Christmas this morning. And it said here that it came to pass. Now, there's real things and there's things that are not real. They're fake. You have fake diamonds. You have real diamonds. I'd rather have a real diamond if I was going to own one. I'd rather have the real thing. There's marriages that are just kind of fake. They may look good on the surface, but behind closed doors, they're not much. And then there's the real, the true. A marriage that is valuable to the family and to people. There's different things that are fake. They're not authentic. They're not real. But this morning, saints, you and I have got the real. We've got the real. Now, for something to start and evolve, there must be a nucleus for a start, a family, husband, and wife. I don't believe God ever intended for Christmas to be celebrated by the world like it is, drinking and partying and so forth. Now, I'm all for Christmas, but the worldly side of it, I'm not for. The center of Christmas is who? Christ. Sees that this saying is, Jesus is the reason for the season. The main part of Christmas is what? Giving. Just like God gave the great gift of Christ. Christ gives a gift of salvation all year long and whosoever will. So how should we celebrate Christmas? All year? we go up our road to our house, and there's a farmer. I don't know how big he is, but I think he's been in the paper a few times, so he's no little 5-acre tract guy. And he has an old John Deere tractor sitting out there and kind of in front of the house and by the near the barn and so forth. And it's been there ever since I've been out there for 14 years, and he has lights on this tractor. And he has a deal where the stack is, and he's got it where the tractor's lit up, and it's puffing smoke, so to speak, out the top. I told my girls, I said, you know, I said, I'd like him to use that all year long, not just now. I like it. Every time we go by, Paige is going, that's pretty, Daddy, or that's beautiful, however she says it. And it is. It's something that makes you think. But how would you like your birthday celebrated and you didn't even receive any gifts? Anybody ever had a birthday and didn't get a card or a gift or a call? There's a Christmas spirit, wrong and right. Let us be in the true Christmas spirit. The world, now this is my burden this morning. The world has nothing on the church. They may hoop and holler, they may party, they may jump up and down, they may think they've got it all, but the bottom line is we have everything they have and more. We have the true meaning. We have the substitutes that the world has and come up with is so pitiful. Santa, also have Easter, the bunny, shame on the devil. She's got people's eyes on something natural and not spiritual. All right, let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter. It's now been announced that Christ is born. He had been prophesied for years, and they were waiting, and he come in the most humble manner. He didn't come in a great show. He didn't come in rolling, so to speak. And yet he come in with one of those glorious announcements that anybody could have. There's not an announcement of the birth of a child ever beat this right here. This has been the birth of birth. It's been the birth that is set in place for you and I to have what we've got today. Have a Christmas, to have a life, to have a blessing, to have salvation, to have glory. All because Jesus was coming down and was born. And here the angels come, and they come to the low shepherds. They didn't come to a king. They didn't come to a queen. They come to the shepherds in the field and told them that he's born. He's in the city of David. He's Christ, the child, and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Oh, today it's been announced. It's been brought forth. It wasn't something that was hid. It was brought out in the open. And today you and I need to have it in the open that this Jesus is a reason. It's not just anything. I've taken Christmas trees down. I've done all kind of things for people around Christmas. Put them up. I believe take them down through the years. Not so much late, but I have. They hired me to do it. But the bottom line is this. There's a real, true, real meaning of Christmas. And Lord, help you and I to get in that spirit. All right, Romans, the 6th chapter and the 23rd verse. It said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, today, there is gifts given at this time of the year. We had a few ourselves. And there's some big gifts and little gifts. Some that can be small and cost a lot of money. Some that can be big and not so expensive. My father used to be one that several times at Christmas down through the years, we'd look out front. He'd tell us, well, he'd pull the drapes back, look out and see what's out there. He'd have a new car in the driveway. I've never been able to afford that, but Daddy did. He gave us something. I'm going to tell you, they let them know, shepherds, there's something that has happened, and it's not just anything. What's been prophesied, what's been told down through the year has now happened, praise God. The birth of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has happened right there, and we want you to go look at it. We want you to go see him. We want you to know that this great Jesus Christ has been born, praise God. God has now given the gift of gifts. Now, a car's a pretty nice gift. Sometimes I guess a husband buy a wife a car or tell her to go get one. Just pick out what you want. That'd be pretty nice. Just pick it out and you can have a new car for Christmas. But I'm going to tell you today, that can drive you around. That can take you places. But I'm going to tell you today, this salvation, the birth of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind, it can drive us to heaven, so to speak, if we'll let it, praise God. If we'll get into it, if we'll be involved in it, if we'll take it and live it, praise God. This gift of God, the greatest gift that man could ever receive, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, the gift of God. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians 2 now, in the 8th verse, 2 and 8 of Ephesians. It said, wherein, no, that's 1 and 8, 2 and 8, read right if I get there. For the grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. All right, let's go to Romans 5 and 15. Romans 5 and 15. Read here a few scriptures. It said, but not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is a gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift, as of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Oh, today, and it said, and for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, today, there is not only a gift, but it's a free gift. It's a gift of salvation free to you and I this morning. Something that we can have, praise God. Something that will help us. All these other gifts. Have you ever got a gift and you're so excited to get it and you've done it or used it? Carpenters have tools and saws and all that. And oh, get a new one. And, oh, this is the greatest thing I could get. And use it a few times. It's just like all the rest of them. Nothing fancy now. But I'm going to tell you this gift, if you stir it up by the power of the Holy Ghost, this free gift can be something that can be real every day, praise God. It's not something that goes stale. The Lord wants us to stir up our gifts, so to speak. He wants us to enjoy our gift. He wants us to be blessed by our gift. And so then by praying and studying and doing the things, eating at the table like we heard last night, getting involved in meeting and doing the things that God would have us to have. Oh, the free gift. I'm thankful today it was free, because if it was just for the rich, I couldn't afford it. I would be out there in the cold going, I'd like to have some of that, and I couldn't get it. But thank God he made it free. He made it free right down to the little man. He made it free right down to the poor, poor, poor man. He made it free to the drug addicts and the alcoholics that's wallowing in the ditches, that's wallowing in their beds, that's wallowing in places. And the free gift come down. And he loves to work with that person just as much as he does with anybody else. Praise God. Sometimes when he gets him, he's got a real jewel, because that's the people that'll take it and run with it and enjoy it and use it to the best they can, praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for a free gift this morning, a free gift of salvation. Oh, I tell you, for by one man's offense death reigned, Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. I'm going to tell you this morning, this gift does things that nothing else will do. This gift gives you power to reign. You can take and live a life that you could never live. You can take this gift and enjoy it 24 hours a day. You can take this gift and be a blessing to other people because of the gift of righteousness, because of the gift of salvation, because of the gift of Jesus Christ. Oh, today, many shall reign in joy and be blessed. Not only you, you can get this gift, praise God, the gift of salvation. You can have this gift and the Lord bless you and use you, and many can be blessed around you. They will get the gift too. Listen, folks, if you get a car, you got one car. Amen. Now, I work for a man, do cleaning for a man, and owns a Shawnee Auto Mall in Shawnee, Oklahoma. He has upward on his lots of 200 and something cars. I understand, if I understood John right, he's the largest independent used car dealer in the state of Oklahoma. And he has about everything. And if he don't have it, he'll get it for you. He's got connections. He's got dealers. He's got people he can call and get something moving and doing because of his connections. But if he give me a car, that'd just be one car. Now, I could use it to haul some of you around, but you can do much more with this gift than you can any other gift. I want to encourage you, if you're not saved this morning, get this gift. Get a hold of Jesus Christ. Have a life that you can't have any other way. Eternal life by one, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Listen, this is the greatest gift that you and I can get a hold of. We can use it. We can spread it. It's not a 1 year, one time a year. It's a 12-month year. It's 365 days. Praise God. A number of years ago, I was fixing to go do something, and it was Christmas Day, and I was excited, and I was going to get to do this. And instead of singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town, I was singing Salvation Has Been Brought Down. And oh, I got so blessed, praise God. It wasn't Santa that gave me what I got. It's Jesus Christ, praise God. Forget Santa Claus. I've got somebody greater. I had a king at one time by the name Elvis Presley. But bless God, I got rid of him. And I got the real king, praise God. The one that comes down, that he looked me up. Elvis never looked me up. He never called me or shook my hand. I sung his songs. I played his song. But bless God, when Jesus come by, he gave me a song that I could sing, praise God. And it wasn't just any song. It was a song of redemption, song of salvation, and the blessings that you can't get any other way by this free gift, praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for the gift this morning. The greatest gift. Let's go to John. St. John 1 and 9. Well, let's start at 6. Let's start at 1 and 6 of St. John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, one thing about Christmas that I like is the lights. They can be beautiful. Houses have them, and trees have them. And last year, for Christmas, our neighbor, the neighbor had died, and they had sold the place, and a neighbor had bought the house and turned it into a rent house. Well, these people, there's a kind of a circular drive, I guess you'd call it, type of circle drive. And Paul and Betty, the former owners, had planted trees out there. Anyway, these people had rented, they took and they had some trees that were cropped, that were brought up, and they were kind of a big mushroom type deal at the top. Best way I know to explain it. And they had taken lights and put in that. And I'll have to admit, I liked it. And this year they didn't do it. And I've been complaining ever since. They got red lights on the house. I like red. But that's still not the lights in the trees. We drove by a place last night and had lights all over the tree. Chesapeake Energy used to do a lot of lighting on their energy campus, I call it, and it was beautiful. And there's places that have, Chickasha has special lighting setups where you can go and enjoy the lights. What is the greatest natural light, or let's say Christmas light, you've ever seen? There is some people that's gone to great extents with this. Have music playing and this is doing and that's doing and so forth. Well, that's all right. But then there's a true light. The true light. It said here, he was not that light, but sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Oh, praise God. Christmas lights is all right, but they don't get close to this light. This is the light that lighteth us up. This is the light that visited us, exposed us, opened us up, and helped us to see that there was something that we were doing that wasn't right. We were in sin. We were lost. We were undone. And this light come along and exposed, and the conviction began to work, and we began to look. We went to, and I've never done this a whole lot, but we went to Gaither Homecoming one time, and I can't think of his name, but most of his singing is solo, and he was singing, I saw the light. And I got to, he was singing, and I thought, I saw it. I saw the light. I drive sometimes to see things, but I'm going to tell you, this light visited me in a dark and a sinful condition. And he come down and he began to talk to me and work with me. He began to show me, son, you're lost. You need something better. I've got a gift. I've got a plan. I've got a way that I can raise you up and out. Set your feet on a solid rock. Establish you going. Put a new song in your mouth. Praise God. I've got a light. That's a true light. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's Christmas lights out there, but they don't get nothing compared to this. They're way down in my list. This light give me something that nothing else will. This is nice. Sunlight is nice. But the light of Jesus Christ is the best light I've ever met in my life. Oh, thank the Lord for the gift of light. The gift of light for you and I this morning. All right, let's go to one more place. Revelation 22 and 1. 22 and 1 of Revelation. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there were no more a curse, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Now it said there was a tree of life. Life. Now there's a lot of Christmas trees out there. I read in the paper, I don't know, sometime back, maybe a year ago, about a man that had so many Christmas trees in his house. You can go to the Biltmore Mansion in Asheville, North Carolina. And they have a lot of Christmas trees. They have a lot of lights. They have a lot of candles. I've never been there. I've seen pictures and read about it. You pay big bucks to go see that. But bless God, here's a tree that is available to you and I 12 months out of the year. Every day of the 12 months out of the year. It's a tree where we can go get what we need, praise God. Where we can enjoy, where we can feast on, and where we can be blessed by. This is a tree of life. It's not a tree that's going to shrivel up. All them cedar trees and so forth, they put whatever they are, and they get them, and they cut them, and they bring them, and they put them in their house and so forth, and everything, and they're pretty for a while. But eventually, they begin to wither. They begin to go down. They begin to die. This tree of life is alive forevermore. This tree of life is for you and I now and for all eternity. The true Christmas. All right, now then, let's move to you and I. Let's go to 61 of Isaiah. I want to bring it down to us now. 61 and 1 of the good book of Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and of the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the spirit of the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now then, we not only get to enjoy the tree, but the tree makes you and I trees of righteousness. We don't, as long as we live for God, we don't wither after a few days. We're something that should be bright and glowing, something that would be attention getting, so to speak. I'm not saying that in the wrong way now, but people would look at us and they would say, "I like that. That's pretty. I want to be like that. They've got something I don't have." A tree. Trees of righteousness. This is the most valuable thing that the world has had, next to the real tree. Next to the tree of life is the fact of the tree of righteousness. This world needs these kind of trees. Thousands of trees goes into the deals every year. I don't know what all they do with them, but they dispose of them. They come out with artificial trees a few years ago. I remember when Mom and Daddy got their first one and had one, I guess, from there on. That's all we ever had. But this tree of life, and then trees of righteousness, is something that is bright and beautiful all year long. Excuse me. And this is a tree that can feed, that can bless, that can help people. This is a tree that is valuable to the world. The other trees are to look at, put gifts under, and so forth. But these trees right here, trees of righteousness, is something that's going to rejuvenate and reiterate all out for everybody. So Lord, help us today. There's a tree of life, and then there's trees of righteousness. These are better than Christmas trees. Much better than Christmas trees. All right, let's go to Proverbs 4 and 9. Proverbs 4 and 9. I want to go from another angle of this. They have trees, and trees have ornaments. They sell ornaments, I guess, sometimes year-round. You can buy them online, and sometimes you can be in places and see things and come find out they're an ornament for a tree, Christmas tree. And people hang them out and put them up, and there's all kinds. Some of them are prettier than others. Some of them are more valuable than others, but they're an ornament. Well, Lord, help you and I to be the right ornament. We can be an ornament too. And 4 and 9 of the good book of Proverbs says, "And she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace." Well, let's go up here about the 7th verse. "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Now he says here, she shall give to thine head an ornament. Wisdom, now it's talking about here. Thy head an ornament of grace. The world needs true wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom out there, but it's not the right wisdom. It's not God's wisdom. God has a wisdom that leads, guides, directs, encourages, uplifts, teaches the word of God, lives the word of God, does the things that needs to be done. And he said, "She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace," something of value, something that is good for mankind, something that will help. "A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." There is people. Remember, wasn't it Daniel? When things went bad, what'd they do? They called on Daniel, wasn't they? Well, what do you say about this? Well, he had the gift of wisdom. He had God. He had a way to help people out. You and I can help people with a gift of wisdom, or just wisdom itself. I'm not totally just the gift, but the ornament of grace, the ornament of wisdom, so to speak, to help people. There is people, folks, that's in trouble, not just a little trouble. We've got people in the quagmires of sin and the depths of sin that needs you and I to be able to tell them the simple story of Jesus, to be able to tell them this is the way, to be able to tell them there's a way out, to be able to tell them there's love from God and Christ, that He died for you, that He can help you, that He can bless you. That's what people need. They need real wisdom. They need an ornament of wisdom, or a person with an ornament of grace of wisdom that can help. Said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give to all men liberally and upbraid not. He wants you and I to have this wisdom. He can help us no matter what it is. There is wisdom that Christ can give us, help us, and ordain us with, so to speak. Give us that ornament. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the third chapter. No, 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter, and we'll start reading at the third verse. Said, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, like I said, they buy ornaments to put on Christmas trees. And the Lord wants you and I to add some things through our life that will help us, that will help others. And it said, whereby is given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The Lord wants us to be a partaker of His nature. He wants us to live that life. He wants us to portray that nature to other people. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence. Now then, the devil does not want us adding anything to anything. He never has and he never will. He wants you and I to stop where we're at. He wants you and I to be in a just a kind of a shallow mood, so to speak. But the Lord said, giving all diligence. You're going to have to do this because you want it, you desire it, you see you need it, and you're wanting something that'll be a blessing to you and to others. But it said, add to your faith virtue. Now, I'm not going to go through what all these words mean. And then to virtue, knowledge. We need knowledge. We need virtue. We need faith. We need these things to help us to dig down, to be greater in the things of God. And it said, to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. There needs to be love. There needs to be kindness. There needs to be gentleness. There needs to be temperance. There needs to be patience. There needs to be things that will help. All right, let's go 1 Peter 3 and 1. 1 Peter 3 and 1. Now, I'm not just preaching to the wives here this morning or the mothers, but it said, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation, conduct, life of the wives. While they behold, look at, study, your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold and putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, Brother Marty mentioned Brother White. Brother White was a great blessing to not only Green Bank, but basically where he went. He came to South Carolina and done some things and give some things down there. When I was sick in 1987, he came over nearly every day and visited me, talked to me, encouraged me, was a blessing to me. He wanted that inside. He had been a hard man, and he's seen what it had done. And so now he's reaching out for something that would do what he couldn't get otherwise. Listen, folks, today it says here, the ornament said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Listen, these things are not something that's going to corrupt, fall apart, all of these things, but it's going to be something that is there to help. Even the ornament of a meek and of a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great pride. Today, these Christmas trees down here that they have are not in the sight of God of something value. They're something that is just there. Something I'd say probably the Lord don't really like or appreciate. Bible says that. But the bottom line here is, he's looking at what the inside. He's looking at a meek and a quiet spirit. Lord, help you and I. Now, wives, it's talking about the wives here, but what about the husbands? Can't they have something that could win unsaved wives? Could they not have something that could be a challenge? Sometimes men can go, In other words, they're the head of the house, or the I am. You've heard me, probably some of you, talk about we was in a home one time, and this was the home of a doctor. He was a third generation doctor in the family, and his name was Flesher. And we were there cleaning the home, and he come in and he had his scrubs on. Well, me and my big mouth, I said, well, you look like a doctor. And he looked at me and he goes like this. He goes, I am a doctor. Well, I think there's some people around who's got this. I am somebody. I am a husband. I am a superstar. I am a singer. I am a sports boy. I am a ball player, whatever you are. I am an Army man or Navy man or whatever. I am somebody. Listen, folks, today, the Lord wants us to win people by a meek and a quiet spirit. He wants us to be able to go in there and diffuse some things, not be I am somebody, but the I am is helping us to have a meek and a quiet spirit whereby that we can help people where nobody else can help them. We can diffuse faith. We can encourage faith. We can uplift faith. We can bless faith when they can't. Nobody else can do it. Let it be that hidden man, that inner man, that little man who's adorning. Let it not be that outward plating of hair and the wearing of gold. Now watch out, preacher. Watch out now. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I don't preach much of some of this anymore. But it said, let it not be the outward, but let it be. There is the right way to touch. And he's talking about winning souls. He's talking about breaking things down. He's talking about being a peacemaker. He's talking about having a life of a quiet and a meek and a mild spirit and life that when you're jumped, you don't jump back. You take it. You turn the other cheek. You let them shoot you down. And then you just climb back up meekly and say, I love you. I want you to be a saint. I want you to be saved. I want you. Oh, their brother Michael was talking about compelling them. Let me tell you, do you know what a good salesman does? A good salesman, that's a good salesman. He knows his product. He's used his product. He likes his product. And so consequently, with enthusiasm, he can portray what it is. He can let you know that this car, this or this, this or whatever, this tool, whatever it might be. He can let you know that there's positive things about that that I've used, I've tried it, I've tested it, and it works. And you need it too. Lord, help us. I'm not saying we need to be a salesman, but we need to be somebody that's partaken of those tables till we have it inside of us whereby that we can be an enthusiastic person that even with a meek and a mild spirit, we can be low and little, but at the same time, we can glow in such a way that will help them, that will encourage them, that will challenge them, that will stir them, that we can compel them. You need this. This is not something that's for just everybody. Well, it is for everybody, but it's for you. I want you to have this. I want you to get this. I want you to be blessed by this and be radiant about it. Man come in one time and had my service station, Northeast 50th, and you ever been in a morning you just wasn't in the best mood? And I don't know why I wasn't in what I call a good mood that morning, but he come down, and I knew him, he knew me, he was a neighbor and traded with the station and so forth, and he come in there, and I don't know, I must have said something that kind of shocked him. He goes, "What's wrong with you? You know, why is your problem?" Well, you know how big I felt about that time? I wasn't, I am. I felt about that tall. I thought, "Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me to have a meek and a mild. Help me to have a spirit, Lord, that's attractive. Help me to have something that will challenge them and stir them and bless them." Not go, "What's wrong with you?" You can go, "What's wrong with you? Why are you living the life you're living? Why are you doing the things you're doing?" Oh, Lord, help us to have the right spirit. Help us to have the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet, mild, loving, gentle, which is in the sight of God a great price. Oh, Lord, help us to have the right things this morning. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, 14th verse, 5 and 14 of Matthew. Well, 13, I guess. "You're the salt of the earth, but if salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, be trodden underfoot of men. But it said, 'You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.' Now Christ is the light, but he uses you and I to be a light too. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the city that's set on a hill." Now, Jerusalem wasn't down in a valley, but it was up where when people approached, they could see it for miles away. It was an elevated spot. The church of God is on the mountain. We're not down in the valley. We're not halfway down the mountain. We're on the top. We're up in a place where people can see us and look at us. And the Lord wants you and I to be a light. Now, again, they have these Christmas lights. They put them up and they take them down in about 30 days. Lord, help us to be of the right Christmas and not be put up in 30 days. But we're a light 365 days out of the year. A light year round. A light that will help people to see Jesus Christ. And he's the reason. Help them to see that there's a real Christmas, so to speak, that they can have all year long. You're the light of the world. How's your light glowing? How's your light working? One time, we were in a home of a family member, and they prevailed upon Uncle Carl to clean some globes. So I set out to do that. And I don't know what the problem was, just exactly where it was, but I wasn't doing a very good job. And I got one cleaned, and I looked at it, and I thought, "I don't like that." I cleaned another and looked at it, I didn't like that neither. And I got the third one and fourth one, whatever, and I got them all, what I thought, clean, pretty good, looked at them, and they didn't pass my approval. The light wasn't able to shine through them like it should be because they were still too cloudy. They were not clean. They were not bright. They were not. Lord, help you and I to have everything clean and right. Have it where that the light is shining to the full extent, where people can see there is a Jesus, there is a salvation, there is a way that nobody else has got, praise God. There is a light. There's churches out there, and they put on quite a show. There's a group of people, well, I don't know just totally how big it is, but it's through this area, and it's a church. And so one of my customers, he's got a son-in-law that sings to these people. So he took his wife and his mother, and he went down there to where the daughter and son-in-law was. And he said, I knew I was in trouble when I walked in the door and they gave me earplugs. So he said, we went in and they went to making all their noise and so forth and singing and playing and everything. And then he said, the minister come over on a big old TV type deal, whatever you call it. And he said it was on there and he was preaching away. You mean there wasn't nobody real there? No. I guess one man preaches to all the group of them, however many that is. I don't know how many there is. And it's quite a movement. They built a big old beautiful place. Well, I wouldn't say it's so beautiful, but a big old place there in Shawnee. Just recently opened it up about last year. And he said it's all by, what do you call it, video? I don't know what you call it, but anyway, it comes over there, so to speak. And so I said, well, I said, how did he do? His daddy was a preacher. He knows what preaching is. I said, how did he do? He said, well, he didn't do too bad. I thought, there's nobody alive there. You know what I mean by that? That wasn't no preacher there. That's what I mean. There was no live body preaching to them. Listen, folks, don't ever underestimate what we have. There is people watch some of this stuff on TV. Well, I'm going to stay home and watch Billy Graham, or I'm going to stay home and watch this one and this one. But the bottom line is, there is something about being gathered together. There is something about being in the presence of God. There is something about having the working of the Spirit that we've got, that nobody else has got, praise God. There was a man told me, he said, I've been in 50 churches in Shawnee, and there ain't nothing like the church of God. It don't get close to it, bless God. Listen today, there's an anointing and a power for you and I. Our light, our understanding is being betrayed and brought out. They need to come and they need to see and they need to hear and they need real people to do that, not a TV screen. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. You are the light of the world. Help us to be that light. Help us to be that light. All right, let's get down to a little more serious part here. Let's go to Romans. First, I want to go to Romans 1 and 11. Romans 1 and 11. For Paul says here, he said, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. All right, now then let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, I want to read the whole chapter. So you pray for us. Now it says concerning spiritual gifts. Paul said, I want you to have something. This morning, Jesus Christ wants us to have something. He wants us to have a gift, or gifts. And he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, the same writer here, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calling Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as a body is one, hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body, whether you be Jews or Gentiles, whether you be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? The ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members in every one of them in the body, members every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, than and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division. It should be all unity in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And if one member honoreth, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, the members in particular, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now then, 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. We need to have the gifts. Christ died that we may all have what he wants us to have. He puts everyone in the place he wants them. Some have more gifts than others, some have less. But the bottom line is, every gift, every member, every individual is valuable to that body. You heard what Brother Michael said about his little toe. Now you may think, well, that little toe's not very valuable, but I got news for you. After what he said, it must be pretty valuable. I wouldn't want to lose mine. I don't want to lose my little finger, neither. I'm not interested in losing my eyes or my ears. I'm not interested in losing a hand or an arm or a leg or a foot. I'm not interested in losing anything. The Lord don't want to lose anything either. He wants you and I to desire, to want, to covet the most valuable gifts, the gift that he has for you. Young people, I want to plead with you this morning. He wants you to have the gift, your gift, not just any gift, but the gift that he has for you. He wants you to covetly, earnest that, desire that, and want that. He wants you to reach out after that, because he has something for you that you can take and use to help other people. Like I said, it might be one gift, it might be two. Brother Leslie seemed to be a man that was so gifted, I was almost envious of him. He could do this and this and this, and poor little me, I could barely come to meeting. And he could do all these different things. Lord, help us today that you and I reach out to get what the Lord wants us to have, a gift. He wants the great gift. We're the under gift, so to speak. But the gift that we have can be a blessing to a lot of people, praise God. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. But you can be a missionary in your own world. You can help people on the job. You can help people around in the family, in the neighborhood, wherever it might be. Brother Salmon said one time, and he liked to whistle, and he did. And he would go into a place to pay a bill, electric bill, gas bill, whatever it was, and he always come in there whistling. And one day he went in there, if I remember the story right, and the woman told him, said, I always like you to come in. I like your whistle. I like your whistle. In other words, it give them a lift. Listen, saints, people need to be able to get a hold of a gift year-round that you have that can give them a blessing and a lift. Give them some encouragement. Give them some strength. Give them something that they can't get any other time, praise God. Listen, those gifts, we want the type of gifts that people can open the natural gifts and the toys and so forth. And like I said, you can use it for a little bit. It's just another old gift. I'm tired of that tool, or I'm tired of this, or tired of that. Just part of the regiment I got in my toolboxes. The Lord wants you and I to be a gift that when the people see us and open us, so to speak, and get involved with us, that we're there, that they don't want us going that away. They want us coming to them. I don't count myself a singer. I'm not a Sammons or an Allen or a Smith. Barely make a joyful noise. But I was singing one time in a house with a sinner. And if I call names, you know who I'm talking about. And I was singing in my poor way of singing. Just a singing. And we wasn't in no little house. We was in a 10 to 12,000 square foot house. And I was singing away. And all of a sudden I quit. I just got through singing what I was singing and I stopped. And he goes, you don't have to quit singing because of me or whatever. You just keep on. I was stunned. In other words, he liked what he was hearing. Listen, the world needs your gift this morning. They need something that will be a blessing that when you stop singing, so to speak, they say, I want to hear some more. When you stop preaching, I want to hear some more. When you stop ministering to them in one way or another, they're going, I need that. I want that. Listen, folks, they need the trees of righteousness. They need the gift of righteousness too, praise God. They need your gift. That'll be a blessing to them. There's going to be times that you... Well, it says here that somebody needs your wisdom. Remember the story in the Old Testament? Now, you may have to help me here a little bit. But there was a battle, wasn't it, or a war? And they called on a man that wasn't anything... Or maybe had a lot of wisdom and he helped them win that. You know what I'm talking about? It's in Proverbs, maybe. But anyway, it's over there in the Old Testament. Listen, folks, today, sometimes you and I don't have to say a whole lot. But you say the right thing because the gift that you have ministers to them. And it's a blessing to them. And it helps them. And works to them. Oh, today... Wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, another discerning of spirits, another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame spirit dividedly to every man severally as he will. But as a body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Are you reaching out? Are you coveting earnestly the best gifts, it said here. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Oh, today, are we desiring that? Young people, I want to challenge you. Anybody in here that has not gotten the gift that the Lord would have for them, I want to ask you to go after it. What asks you to desire, to cover it, to want it? Somebody was sick one time, congregation where I pastored. And they could have died. That's what I understand anyway. And I went to them one day. And they were in bed. And went to them and I talked to them. And I asked, and I don't remember now why. I can't tell you why I felt led to do this, but I did. I felt led to ask them, do you have the gift? Have you sought the gift of the Lord? Here they're on their deathbed nearly. And later they would have died if the Lord hadn't interceded. But I inquired about the gift. And they looked at me and said, well, I think I have got what the Lord wants me to have. Yes. And we even discussed it. And they do have a gift. And they use that gift. And it's a blessing to the church. It's not a minister. It's not a teacher. It's not a singer. But it's a type of gift that people need them. They want their help, so to speak. And they give it to people. And they minister to people that way. And they give their advice, so to speak, and what they need, this, that, and the other. Listen today, it doesn't matter what the gift is. You just need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What gift do you want me to have? Lord, I want whatever you've got. You're the great gift. I want to be the under gift, so to speak. Brother Leslie mentioned one time about the great shepherd and said we're ministers or the under shepherd. Well, that's where I'm getting that, the under gift, the small gift. The gift that he has, and it may just be one gift. He might give you two gifts or three gifts or four gifts. But he wants you and I to be a gift to mankind. He wants the world to see something. And to feel and to know and to understand that there is something real here. There's a real Christmas. There is a real Christ. There's a real salvation. Let's go to Ephesians 2 and 6. Now, the world has a lot of parties. And I don't want to get in trouble right here, but the world has a lot of Christmas parties. One person told me that worked at a hospital, said, Carl, I went to my hospital's Christmas party. And they were shocked at the alcohol and the booze that was flowing. They said that the head honcho was so drunk he couldn't hardly walk. They told me that there was a worker that was supposed to be on call and help work with this person. Now, the person that told me this, I don't think they consumed any alcohol at all. They was on call and they don't drink anyway. They said, I drank just a little bit down a time or two, nothing serious. But they said this young lady was 21 years old and working at this hospital. And she was supposed to be on call and said that was Friday night was the party. And they were on call and on a case on Saturday. Now think about this, folks. This is people in the world that's trusting people to operate them, do the right thing for them, and there are some of them so drunk the night before they couldn't hardly even walk. I don't like them kind of parties. Anyway, said during the operation, said this 21-year-old girl got so sick she had to leave the operating room and go to the bathroom and throw up. That's not a party. Let's talk about what I call a real, if you want to use the word party. I think Brother Leslie termed it the Holy Ghost one time. Holy Ghost, I think he said party. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But 2 and 6 of Ephesians says, and raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Have you enjoyed this meeting? Anybody enjoyed the meeting? Have you been blessed? Have you sat in heavenly places? You know why it's heavenly? Because Jesus is here. The Holy Ghost is here. God is here. The angels are here. We don't have a full crowd. And I got news for you. If you could see the other world, so to speak, of the angelic world and so forth, if you could really see who all's here, this place would be loaded. It'd be full all the way to the back. There'd be plenty of people here because everybody's here according to the Bible. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the angel, they're right there. They're ministering, they're working, they're blessing in this meeting. Listen, folks, today, when we come together and the Lord is blessing and working, we're sitting in heavenly places. And there is nothing better than this. Like I said, I enjoyed the LaRonja meeting. I thought, I don't know if it's because I was so hungry or the meeting was just so good. I think it was a little bit of both. When you come to these, do you come hungry? Are you desiring, wanting, I can get something good, praise God. It's not alcohol that makes me wobble and fall down and talk crazy, but it is something that blesses my soul. It's the wine of the Spirit of God. It's the things that God had for you and I. To fill us, challenge us, stir us, encourage us, lift us. It's what God had for you and I, praise God. And He feeds us and He blesses us. The singing, the praying, the preaching. One person was right here in this meeting. Never been in a saints meeting as far as I know. And they come the other night and the singing, they about blew them away. And the preaching, they enjoyed that too, if I understood the person right. Oh, it was good for them. Listen, people come to our services, and this is a real gathering. This is something that feeds the soul. It's not something that makes you loop-eyed and crazy, but it blesses you, encourages you, uplifts you, challenges you, convicts you, stirs you. It does say, and listen, folks, today, I'd rather be here than a great party that President Trump, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, don't give me them. Give me this right here. Praise God. I like it so well, been attending 40-something years now. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to go the next 40. Oh, tonight, Lord, thank you for the right, if I may use the word party or gathering, the right heavenly places, praise God. We are made to sit together in Christ Jesus. All right, let's go to Ephesians 5 and 19. We'll be through here in a minute. Ephesians 5 and 19. Music. Now, Christmas has music. There is special songs, just like was saying this morning. I appreciate that. I don't think I've ever heard that song sung. No, I've ever seen it. Probably have, don't remember. But there is a special music and singing, if you want to use that term, that the Church of God has. One time I attended a funeral. Shawnee, many years ago, I don't know if Sister Carol was there or not, but this was connected with the Golden Rule Home. And two people had gotten killed in a car wreck just south of my house, about 6 miles. And a husband and wife went to this funeral, and there was a quartet of men singing, and they wasn't playing instruments themselves, but they had it coming off over a deal. And I thought, you know, if they would turn that down where I could hear the words good, they probably would have pretty good harmony, could sing pretty good. And in a little bit, one of them stepped forward and turned that box down and making all the noise, and they really could sing pretty good. They come in and they hear our singing. They hear what we bring forth. And they want to go back sometimes and try to do what we done. But they can't do it. You know why? Because they don't have the Spirit. This is music from the heart. This is singing from the heart. This is a life that it can only, or this is a way that only can be done because the people are singing from the depths of their heart and their soul. Ephesians 5 and 19 said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, when we come, are we fired up? Are we in the Spirit when we come to meeting and ready to sing, ready to pray, ready to whatever the Lord would have us to do? Or do we just kind of come in down and out? Now, sometimes on Wednesday night, being the middle part of the week, that can be a tough service. But it don't have to be. You can come in and you can challenge others. You can come in and be a blessing to others. Colossians 3:16 says here, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us when we come in here to put our hearts into it. To come in here and be everything the Lord would have me to be in our singing, in the whole service, but in the singing. Our singing touches people that I would say that other singing just don't do it. They've taken our books home and taken it to media and tried to copy it, and they couldn't do it. It didn't work because they didn't have what we've got. We've got something that's very valuable, very, very precious. We have the gift of life. We have the gift of salvation. We have the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have something that nobody else has outside those that are not living for God. We have something that the world just flat doesn't have, folks. And they can play their music. Brother Marty preached a message. I believe it was him. Yes, it had to be. No, it was a Preg tent meeting. That's where it was at. And he was talking about something. And he was talking about us being part of the body, and I can't remember the word he used now, but one time I went into a home that I'd cleaned regularly once a week, and went in there, and there was a, I didn't know totally what it was at first, but I could hear some music, and so I followed my ears. And it took me all the way through the house to the last room of the house, which was the master bedroom. So I walked in the door. To the left was a master bath there in the bedroom over here. And I walked in there and I heard this singing. So I stopped and I listened. Guess who it was? It was my old king, Elvis. It was either the anniversary of his death or it was his birthday. And this radio station, I guess Oklahoma City, was playing his music. You know what I did? I didn't just get all excited like I used to. I reached up and turned that thing off. Said, praise God, I've been delivered from that mess. I've got something better. I've got salvation had been brought down, praise God. Oh, and all the good songs in the book. Got those things. Oh, today, when you get it, you don't want that other stuff. You only want. But when we come to meeting, Lord, help us to enjoy. Get into the singing. Get into the spirit of singing. And sing with melody from our hearts to the Lord. All right, last but not least, what are you going to buy? Go to Proverbs 23:23. Proverbs 23:23. Now, I don't know if any of you have been out doing any buying of any gifts or anything for somebody. I bought some. But there is something that we need to buy that is greater. It said, buy the truth. Sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, I'm not going to tell you you can't buy a Christmas gift or a birthday gift. I'm not telling you you can't send a Christmas card. I'm not going to tell you any of that. But I am going to tell you there is something that you need to buy that far exceeds all of that. The truth. The truth that will make you free. The truth that will bless you at 3 a.m. in the morning. The truth that will unravel, reveal, enlighten, help you to understand yourself better. That you're not pleasing God in this area and he's wanting you to move up. He talks to you, visits you, and he uses the word of God. One time I had a problem with a brother. I was down praying and the Lord spoke to me and he said, you made mistakes too. And I was down, I literally done this. I looked up, I raised both hands up and said, who me? I didn't make no mistakes. What are you talking about, Lord? He said, you made mistakes. And time he got through, I was that low. I was flat out. And so he began to deal with me. And he began to show me both sides of the picture, so to speak. And I began to have a revelation of this dealing with other people that I'd never seen before. And then he got down and he gave me Matthew 5 and 19 where it says, love the brethren? No, love them. Let me get that. I got to go to the New Testament anyway. No, it's not 5, it's 4. It's 4. Yeah, it is 5 too. But I say, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. Now he let me know, said, I want you to love this brother. Now he wasn't really an enemy, but he had not been the most pat on the back, I love you person. He had done some things that had hurt me, and that's where the whole problem was. And so when I got to the place where that I could go and talk to him, I went. And I just laid it out before him. We discussed it. We got everything taken care of, and then I turned around to walk away. And the glory of the Lord come down. And he filled me so that I was ready to go back and do it all again. But it all come right through this word. He said, love them. Love them. Love your enemies. Love the saints. Love your husband. Love your wife. Love your children. Love, love, love. He wants you to love. And he used that word and he worked me over. And I thought, So I done what he wanted me to do. And it worked. All right, let's go to 3 and 18 of the good book of Revelations and we'll be through. It said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear in thine eyes, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. How many of you has ever seen a bar of gold? Are bars of gold. Where do they keep the gold at? I'm not mistaken, they keep it in a place called Fort Knox. It's in Kentucky. Went by there one time many years ago, and you wouldn't know there's anything fabulous about this place. It had fences around it and so forth, but it just looked like another place. You wouldn't know that there's whatever's there is there. But I had the privilege of looking at bars of gold one time, real gold. And they were brought up in kind of a pyramid like this. There were so many on the bottom and so forth, the one laying right on top of all of them. And it was beautiful. It'd be nice to have. It'd be something that could help you buy something and do something with. Especially at the price, I guess I don't even pay no attention to what price of gold is now, but it's pretty high at one point. If you had it and you'd bought it for half of that, and then you turn around and sold it, you could make some pretty good profit off of that. But he says here, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Just how much do we want? You can buy the wife a nice gift for Christmas, or your husband, or your children. But the Lord said, I want to counsel you to buy something today. I want you to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You can have something that is more valuable, that's not corruptible, that'll go with you and be with you. You can have something that will be a blessing to that companion all year long. Now, if you buy her some perfume or buy him some cologne or whatever it might be, that's useful for a long time unless they waste it. But Today, the Lord wants us to have something that is valuable to everybody, not just the wife or the husband or the children or to the family. He wants us to buy something that will be valuable. Have you been buying of gold lately? The Lord's gold, the gold that will help other people in a rich way, the gold this morning that will be a blessing to others, to buy me gold. Now, it's going to be tried in the fire. This gold is going to be brought about by the real hard places. That's what makes it gold. That's what makes it glitter, so to speak. That's what makes it valuable. It's tried in the fire, in the real hot places of our lives that we've gone through. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Now listen, folks, we need to be rightly clothed this morning. And it said, and I said that thou mayest see. We need to see. So this morning, the true Christmas. What have you got this morning that's a blessing to other people? Are you the light? Have you got the gifts? Are you doing what the Lord would have you to do at this time? We celebrate this. I celebrate Christmas 365 days a year, not just one day out of the year. And so, Lord, help us today to have the true Christmas. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers this morning. Pray for me.